Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on living in perilous times was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn back over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've been teaching from this all this weekend. I feel like God supernaturally told me to minister on this. And I'm not going to take time to read all five of verses. We've done this every service so far. But there's 19 things listed which are a sign of the last days. And we are, I believe, in the last of the last days. And I've been focusing primarily on verse 5 where it says that all of these people, these ungodly traits that were listed, it says all of these people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. And so I've been focusing on what is denying the power. What is the power of the Christian life? And the very first thing we talked about, Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And I spent quite a bit of time trying to define what the gospel is. That there's confusion on this today, and there's people that'll stand up and just preach the wrath and the judgment and the anger and the bitterness of God and then say, I'm preaching the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel is specifically referring to the grace of God, and we talked about that yesterday morning. Last night, I took the scripture from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Lord says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so we begin to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And you know, back when Jamie and I first got really turned on to the Lord, this was it. You couldn't turn in any direction without hearing people talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and being led by the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and being sensitive to the Spirit and stuff. And I mean, that was it. That's what the charismatic revival or renewal was all about. You couldn't spit without hitting somebody who was fanatical about the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were just everywhere. And then people came out of the denominational churches. They've started Spirit-filled churches. And today I go into Spirit-filled churches. And there are hundreds of people in quote-unquote Spirit-filled churches that never hear a message about the Holy Spirit, that don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't speak in tongues. And, you know, I don't understand what the deal is, because the Holy Spirit is just as important today as He ever was. I was talking with people this morning at breakfast who never had heard about the Holy Spirit like this. And they came and have both received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, have both started speaking in tongues and saying, man, it was just totally brand new to them. You know, it shouldn't be that way. I'm telling you that if you are just... I talked about this last night. I'm not going to go back and re-preach that. But if you are born again only, as important as that is, it's essential. You must be born again. But Jesus told His disciples to tarry, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not optional. I do believe that you can go to heaven without it. As a matter of fact, you can get there quicker if you don't have the Holy Spirit, because you aren't going to have any power. You aren't going to be able to walk in healing. You aren't going to have victory and joy. Satan's going to snuff your life out. You can still go to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but why? Why try? I guarantee you the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. One, there's many things that happen when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I fell in love with God so passionately, my life just flip-flopped. I mean, instantly. You know, I had a horse that I rode every day of my life. I never missed it. Rain, snow, whatever. I rode that horse every day of my life. Then March the 23rd, 1968, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it was 4.5 months before I even thought of that horse. I didn't know if anybody had fed it, if it was still alive. I lost everything. I fell so in love with God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will put you into a deeper relationship with God, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus and to lead you into all truth and to bring all of these things. And so people who aren't responsive to the Holy Spirit are not going to have an intimate, strong relationship with God. And sad to say, there's most people today are running their life by rules and principles, and they aren't listening to the Holy Spirit. If they would listen to the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you there is a lot of the foolishness and things going on in the body of Christ today that would cease. And yet there's people that just go headlong, and it's because they are ignorant of the power of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about all of that last night. What I want to do today is just focus on one thing, because we've had a number of people here this week that have asked me questions about this, and I think that this would really, really help you. I'm going to focus just on the speaking in tongues part of it and talk about that and talk about what the purpose of this is, some of the things that are accomplished by speaking in tongues. And again, this is offensive to a lot of people. You know, the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that speaking in tongues is a sign that will be spoken against by unbelievers. They'll think you're crazy. Unbelievers just think that this is absolutely silly and foolish. And this is precisely one of the reasons that speaking in tongues is so powerful. Because the natural mind does not embrace this. It's crazy. You've spent an entire lifetime trying to control yourself and getting to where you don't say stupid things and embarrass yourself by the things that you say. And you've gotten to where, you know, you've polished your English and your presentation and all of this. And then you start speaking in tongues and saying this foolish stuff. And your mind just rebels at it big time. When I first received the gift of speaking in tongues, I was a Baptist. Not everybody had as much problem speaking in tongues as I did, but I was a Baptist. And I tell you what, they used to play tapes of people that were quote unquote speaking in tongues. And then somebody came along and interpreted it, and it was some African language, and they were cursing the devil. And they would play these tapes to say that this is of the devil. I don't know that that stuff was true. But anyway, I had fear put in me that the devil will make you speak in tongues, and that this is just gibberish and stuff like this. And even though I found in the Word of God that speaking in tongues was a real gift, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe it's verse 39, forbid not to speak in tongues. It's a command. It says that speaking in tongues will pass away some days. Let's just turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the only verse I've ever heard anybody use that had any scriptural foundation against speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 starts talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which speaking in tongues is one of those gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 comes back to speaking in tongues and prophecy, and it tells you about the right way to administer them in the church. And in between those two chapters is the chapter of love. And the very last verse of the 12th chapter says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I've heard people take the chapter 12 that talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are speaking in tongues, interpretation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, gifts of healings, gift of miracles. Seems like I missed something, but anyway, there's 9 of them. And I've heard people say that those things, this very verse says there is a more excellent way. And they will sometimes put down the gifts of the Holy Spirit and say, now that we have love and now that we have the Bible, let's move beyond these immature things. And that speaking in tongues was just something that was temporary and it was very immature. And so they try and make it like it's the least of all of the gifts, and therefore we don't need it. So chapter 13 goes on to start talking about love. And they say that love has superseded the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's not the point that's being made. It says that speaking in tongues in love is superior to speaking in tongues in the flesh. And some people think, well, you couldn't operate in speaking in tongues in the flesh. Yes, you can, just like any other gift. Just like the gift of prophecy, just like a gift of a teacher. Did you know I could take this gift that God has given me and use it incorrectly and use it to hurt people instead of help people? There is a gift of a pastor. There's people that are called a pastor, and yet they use that gift carnally, and they'll use the pulpit to get up here and hurt people and say things and get back at people. You can use the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the flesh. When you're speaking in tongues, it's not pure Holy Spirit. Some of you are looking at me kind of strange. That's the reason that he gave the 14th chapter, and he says, quit speaking in tongues the way you're doing it. They would come into an assembly and every single person would pray in tongues. And nobody knew what the other one was saying. And so Paul put down guidelines and he says, let it be at the most two or three messages in tongues. And when you speak in tongues like that, let there be an interpreter. If there isn't an interpreter, then don't speak in tongues. He gave guidelines in the 14th chapter. And one of the criticisms that some of the Pentecostals have when you say things like this is they will sit there and say, but wait a minute, I can't help it. The Holy Spirit is on me. I can't just stop and quench the Holy Spirit. They have this idea that the Holy Spirit is just taking control of you and making you speak without your consent. And Paul says right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm not sure that I know the exact verse, but he says the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophets. In verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And he put this right in between all of his instructions. What he's saying is that the spirit of speaking in tongues, this gift of speaking in tongues, is subject to you. You can start and stop it. The Holy Spirit doesn't take control of you and you speak ecstatically. That's the reason that I'm speaking in English right now. I can stop and pray in tongues, but the scripture tells me not to do it right now unless there's an interpretation to go along with it. I can choose to speak in English. I can choose to speak in tongues. You know, I had a woman at one of my meetings, and Jamie was up just worshiping the Lord and singing hallelujah, and it was really a powerful time of praise and worship. And this woman was back there at the back going, hallelujah, like that, hallelujah, and she was just screaming and speaking in tongues. So I sent some of the guys that worked with me back to tell her to please be quiet. They went back and came back up, and she was still doing it. And they said, she says it's a Holy Spirit on her. She can't control it. So I said, go back and tell them it's not the Holy Spirit and control it. And she wouldn't do it. And finally, I went back and I talked to this lady and I said,
that's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to live through perilous times. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM232 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Today, I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with this ministry and help us spread this good news. You know, there are many of you who do partner with us, and I want to thank you. We now are reaching over 2 billion people, potential, around the world. And it's only our partners that have enabled us to do that. But there is so much more that we want to do. There's so many people that haven't yet heard this good news. If this has been a blessing to you, if you see the benefit of this and understand how this could help other people, then I ask you to become a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Help us financially on a monthly basis to be able to reach out. We have partnerships available, a lot of information. If you'll call, you can inquire about that and become a partner with us today.